Welcome to the More Than Fitness Podcast.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another solo episode on the More Than Fitness Podcast. It's Monday morning. I'm feeling good. I've got some Monster flowing. I think that the topic of discussion today is going to be one that will resonate with a lot of you. And I'll jump into that in just a second. Quick life update for anyone who cares. Just got back from the beach with the family. Went to Destin, Florida. Had a great time. Got to be rejuvenated a little bit by being with my family, relaxing a little bit. Still getting some work done because I've been in a very work-oriented mood as of late. And it was somewhat difficult for me, honestly, to balance both of those things. But nonetheless, there's worse problems to have. But I enjoyed the vacation, got to spend some time with my little nephew. He's 18 months old. He's super enthusiastic and energetic and typically a pretty happy baby. It's just funny to be around I just haven't been around a kid like that, especially at that age, for a very long time. So just seeing how they interact with people and interact with the world is just so damn cute. Let's see. Also, my voice is deeper than normal. It's probably because I'm still, I went back home, or I hung out with some friends over the weekend, got to see them. That always includes a little bit of drinking or a lot of drinking and hanging out and probably talking way too loud over some music, yelling, all that kind of stuff. So that's why I have this very raspy radio voice this morning. what else? So I put up two new blog posts on my website. So the first one one of them is piggybacking off of my most recent minisode, which I got some good feedback on. So I wanted to develop that further into a blog post. It was also an email as well. So I essentially refined it, added a few things, made it better. And that article is called Why Love Yourself Isn't Enough. 4 ways to improve your body image and self-confidence. If you want to check that article out, you can always just go to mattmcleod.org/articles. You can find all my blog articles, or it's just mattmcleod.org/confidence. And then the other one would be, I did a solo podcast on this one somewhat, but I developed it out more in the blog post, cleaned it up, eliminated some of my ramblings and things. And that one's called Balancing Fitness and Fun at the Beach, Advice from a Dietitian. And that's kind of like my vacation cheat sheet. This is just so you can feel confident with your workouts, nutrition, and mindset during your time off while you're at the vacation. Don't worry, I'm not putting you on a diet or anything like that, but it's just how I navigate the that kind of weird gray area of whenever you're on vacation and should I take a break? Should I eat like a complete asshole? Should I kind of watch what I'm eating? Et cetera, et cetera. So this is my best advice on that. And that's just mattmcleod.org/beach. Those are a few new blog articles. I'm going to be posting more on the blog because I really enjoy it and it allows me to articulate my thoughts a little bit better. And I think it's a good place for you guys to bookmark things so that you can refer to them later. With these podcasts or on social media and things, it can get, I can make an Instagram post that can do really well, but then it's gone in 48 hours. Essentially, you've forgotten it. Maybe you saved it or something, but let's be honest, how often do you go back and actually look at those saved posts? Or maybe that's just me. I don't normally do that. I save posts sometimes, but I haven't gone back and looked at them hardly ever. But if that's you, great. But if not, I would definitely go to the blog post, bookmark that, or you can send it to a friend. All that kind of good stuff. Other than that, I'm feeling good. Signed a lease to my new apartment. Don't worry, guys. I'm going to get into it. For the people who don't care about this, are probably already skipping through it. But I'm excited because I just signed my lease to my new apartment in Lexington, Kentucky for at least the next year. The next year, I'll be in Kentucky, and then I'm going to be throughout this entire next year, I'm also going to be traveling around some just to kind of get experience different places, to be honest. Now that I'm single and it's the I'm got full autonomy and freedom and everything, I'm going to be experimenting a little bit. I'm going to be seeing how it is to live in different places, how it is to hang out with different people, and just kind of go by feel. So a year of exploration is ahead, but I am excited to move into the new place, get my own place, get back in my routine of things, and also decorate the place for myself because I've never done that before. So that's interesting. I had a joke with one of my other buddies who's 26, and he was figuring out something similar as far as the apartment situation. And he was just talking about how he spent quite a lot of time recently. I think he was looking at couches or something, or he was looking at something. What was it? Yeah, I think it was something like a couch or a kitchen table or something like that. And then I told him how I just spent the past few hours in Pottery Barn looking at like dishware and silverware and all these different, like I was looking at candles and I was looking at just a little random knickknacks for around my new apartment. And it's just like, I told him, I was like, we have reached peak adulthood right now, because instead of doing whatever we would normally do, if you're playing Xbox or something like that, we are looking at dishes at Pottery Barn. So that was a fun little moment. But he was also like, I also kind of enjoy it, and I totally agree. Like I really have fun looking at, you know, like kitchen sets or knives or something like cookware and things like that. So that's, yeah, us about to enter in my 30s and things. So that's always interesting, which is crazy to even say. I'm 27, so I'm still very, very young, just so that's very, very clear. At least in my own head, I'm still very, very young. All right, let's go ahead and jump into this thing. How long have I rambled already? 7 minutes. All right, 7 minutes of rambling, not too crazy. And before we get into it real quick, also, what is it called? Rate, review, subscribe if you don't already. It really does. It helps. It really helps. And I've got to do better at reminding. And so here's me doing that, doing my part. If you get any joy from this podcast or any type of learnings or entertainment or whatever you want to call it, please rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, or I don't even know if you can do it on Spotify or other platforms. Whatever you listen on, go rate and review, especially on Apple Podcasts. And there's always a link in the description on, you can just click that and go do it. Okay. Today's podcast episode, I want to talk about, this is something that's, I have a list of notes here, and they're somewhat scrambled because this topic is just, it's complex, and I'm going to do my best at navigating through this. But I've thought about this problem a lot because it's kind of centered around, it's kind of what my whole belief system or brand or whatever you want to call it, the things that I promote out there, this is kind of at the core of that. And the topic is on balancing acceptance and improvement. So how can we be content and happy and accept where we are right now? And this, of course, goes with fitness. This goes with our careers. This goes with our family, relationships, whatever. This idea of accepting what is in the moment and being content with everything that we have right now and grateful, and also striving to improve that situation, right? Like I think that that's something that we are all always trying to balance, to be honest. And I know this is going to sound like a hippy dippy episode or whatever you want to call it, and it's not super concrete or tangible, but I hope by the end of this you'll have a few action steps or at least a few things to think about as you go about your day and upcoming days. And so you guys know that my main view on fitness is, well, maybe at least some of you know, that my main view on fitness is using fitness to enhance your life, not be your life. But it's just like, what does that actually mean? Like, how can we practically implement that into our lives? And obviously the answer isn't that straightforward. So that's why I said these are just some thoughts that I've had on the subject after talking with some experts, talking with other coaches in the field, other people that struggle with these same things. I think it will be helpful. But to me, I think what it comes down to is at least how to navigate this on an ongoing basis, because your answer today could change tomorrow, right? Your answer tomorrow could change from what it is today, right? And so what it means to me, at least, is it comes down to what purpose fitness serves in your life at this moment. So that can be very different if you are motivated on a Monday morning, right? And you're trying to get back on track with things. Maybe over the weekend you fell off track. Now you're trying to get back on track. So right now, fitness is definitely going to be a higher priority. Okay. But then what if a friend came in from out of town, you haven't seen them in a long time, they want to grab some brunch, they want to grab some lunch or whatever. And then what's your priority in that moment? Right? Because then maybe the situation changed and you then want to opt for, okay, I'm not going to worry about the calories of this meal or getting in tons of vegetables or whatever, right? In that moment, fitness is not the priority in that moment. And that's having the freedom to adapt to the situation and be flexible with your approach to fitness and versatile is kind of how I like every the lens that I view fitness, and that's the how I try to put out content. You know, that's what I try and teach you guys. But of course, that can be very hard, and it's because I'm going through it as well. You know, I am actively figuring these things out, and as I figure these things out myself, and of course, with my background, I have a little bit more experience and knowledge on how to practically implement this into our lives, and hopefully that's what I tried to successfully convey with my content and things. I think what's very common amongst all of us, you know, me and also you guys listening, is that for most of us, fitness is pretty important, right? Like, it's probably fair to say that it's a core value for most of us. So out of all of us, we have these different values, but I'm pretty sure that fitness and health is going to be a core value that really is one of the things that we can all agree on. We want to look good, we want to take care of ourselves, and we want to live a long and healthy life. I think we can all agree on that. But I think the issue that we can run into is that this core value of fitness bleeds into becoming our identity, right? It doesn't just become a part of who we are, it becomes the whole thing. And I think how this can happen slowly over time is that we become like, so what happened with me, for example, is I started to work out more and eat better, essentially for football, to get bigger, stronger, faster, right? And what started to happen is people started to compliment me on my physique or my hard work or my discipline, right? And all of these things, especially as a younger kid, I just soaked them up like a sponge, right? And slowly over time, I became the fitness guy, and I became known as being dedicated and disciplined and putting in that hard work specifically around the gym. And that gave me a lot of confidence, and it gave me my first, I would say, identity that I really had. You know, all of this newfound confidence and starting to feel better about myself feeling good about how other people were talking about me. All of this was thanks to fitness, right? And so that's kind of where the snowball starts to form, right? And then slowly over time, Luckily, I don't think that this happened to me, at least to a huge extent, because I had other things going on that I was also proud of and also became part of my identity. But the problem that can happen with some of us, and I can dip my toe in this and teeter in and out of this sometimes, is that we begin to lean on fitness harder and harder for our self-esteem, right? So all of these things, if you've, let's say that you were overweight, right, and that you did have some discipline issues, or maybe you weren't that much that hard of a worker, or maybe you always were, but not necessarily around this fitness thing. The thing with fitness is that whenever you start to put in this effort and start to put in this hard work, your outward appearance can also change, and you can become the most disciplined person, you know, within 6 months in something else, and people could have no idea, right? At least they can't, because they can't see what's going on inside your head. They can't see what's going on internally. But with fitness, it's like if you lost 50 to 100 pounds, it's like people are going to notice that, right? And then that starts to build you up. And if you've always felt insecure, or you didn't have this confidence, or you didn't view yourself in this high regard, and your self-esteem wasn't super high, well, it's like, then you start to do this fitness thing, it works out, you start to get these compliments, you start to get this confidence, you start to be praised for your efforts, and you start to feel good about yourself because you are keeping these promises to yourself over time. Well, it's like, that can be great, at least in the short term, but the problem is whenever you kind of get over that threshold and it doesn't just become part of your identity, it becomes your entire identity. And so in the past, whenever you felt bad and then fitness came to the rescue and it made you start to feel better, right? We try to replicate that feeling in the present by focusing harder and harder on our fitness goals. And this is why whenever, let's say, people have lost quite a bit of weight, I've worked with one-to-one clients who have lost a bit of weight, they became the fitness person, this exact scenario happened with them. And then now every time they see the scale go up some, or maybe they see their abs fade away for a little bit, or they don't pay attention to their diet as much, they start to relax a little bit. It's like, then whenever the scale starts to go up, it's not just, oh, it's just the scale going up, it's just a number on the scale, whatever, right? Then it becomes, oh, their fitness is this person's identity. And that, imagine fitness being a raft, right? They are floating along a river on this raft, and that identity of fitness is their raft. And then you have other people, whenever that number goes up, for example, on the scale, imagine other people coming in and starting to poke holes in that raft, right? And their fitness identity is slowly starting to at least feel that way. It's starting to slip away. So now the number on the scale is not just a number going up on the scale. This is them falling back into their old ways of insecurity and not feeling good about themselves. And all those negative emotions that they once had, those are starting to creep up again. This is not just a number on the scale. This is their entire identity slowly being pulled out from under them. And that can be really scary. You know, that can be super scary. All these things that you built yourself up on, it's like building a house on sand, you know? It's like, that's why it can be like building this identity on fitness, and why I am so adamant about talking about this topic is that it can be, you can trap yourself in your own prison. And I mean that in the sense that we always have to eat. Every single day, you have to make choices on your nutrition and exercise, right? Are you going to exercise, and are you going to eat well? It's like, you have to make those decisions every single day. And if you don't make those decisions, that's still a decision being made, right? Choosing to do nothing is still a choice. And so what this can do is set these people up for a never-ending chase to improve their body and improve their fitness as a ways to make themselves feel better, especially whenever things are going wrong in their life, or maybe they're maybe they are starting to slip back in their old ways and they're getting, you know, it can be very scary, especially if you try to go back to your old ways, because it's always comforting when you're like, oh, I could turn on the switch whenever I want to and I could change X, Y, and Z, right? But what happens whenever you choose to flip that switch and then X, Y, and Z doesn't actually happen? That can be very scary because you took comfort in this scapegoat and this exit strategy. You're like, oh no, I could do it if I wanted to. And then you try to do it and then it doesn't work. Well, then of course, yeah, your entire identity starts to crumble. Your entire, all of these beliefs that you once had about yourself, that can start to fade away. And that can be, that can be a big crisis for people. And just replace literally everything that I just said, just replace fitness with like making money or something. Money is going to be another one. It's like anytime we have our identity wrapped up so completely in something, it's like that's having it wrapped up in something, no matter what it is, I think that is one of the huge problems, because that means it can always be taken away from you. Right. And I'm not saying this is what I'm getting into. I'm not saying to not care about anything. I'm not saying to not worry about your fitness goals or just not care about what everyone else thinks or that it's meaningless or you should be nihilistic or something like that. What I'm saying is that fitness can, again, it can be a part of who you are, a part of who we are. However, whenever it becomes all of who you are and that it becomes all of the things that make you proud of yourself, that's whenever it can become a slippery slope. And so the content that I tried to put out there is not only how to navigate life within this space of balance, but also, as far as tactical things go and practical strategies on how to implement these certain strategies within your life, but also from a mental standpoint. It's like, I want to give you the mental frameworks on how to think about these things and how to think about yourself in this lens. This is where the idea of balancing acceptance and improvement can come in, right? Because the solution that I see, at least, is that it's my duty to shatter the illusion. This is something I had written down. That's why it took me a second to read this out. Is because in my eyes, the solution comes down to it being my duty to shatter this illusion that we need fitness as much as we think that we do, right? And in fact, again, going back to what I just mentioned, I think the solution to most problem is thinking that we need anything to be happy. One of my favorite philosophers, and he's also an angel investor and a serial entrepreneur, his name is Naval Ravikant. And Naval said, desire is a contract you make with yourself to be unhappy until you get what you want. And so I think many of us are making contracts with ourselves to delay our happiness through our fitness goals, right? So we're saying, well, we'll be happy when I lose these 15 pounds or when this happens. And what I've seen with my online clients is that they can lose those 15 pounds, but then after that chases up, there's always going to be something else that we tend to gravitate towards fixing again, because then it's just like, I mean, listen, I don't think that there's anything wrong with having fitness goals or trying to improve yourself. I think the problem comes down to when you need to have these fitness goals for your own mental stability. That's where these clients, I think, can have some deeper issues going on, is because it's not the 15 pounds that they're chasing, right? What they're chasing is they're afraid and they want to be respected and they want to love themselves and they want to be proud of themselves, right? It's just like, but the vehicle that they're using is through fitness, right? And so they need to work out constantly out of fear of losing their progress and slipping back into their ways, or they need to count calories because they're afraid of giving up that control or any type of control. And maybe this isn't you, but that a certain part of this resonates with you because you feel like, oh, whenever I reach this goal, then I'll be happy. Then I can accept myself. Then I can X, Y, and Z, right? But it's just like, this is what I want to get across with this is that, like, why can't you have both first off, right? Why can't you accept where you are right now and also actively try to improve it. I know that there's a little bit of paradox in there, but there's no reason why we can't have these contrasting energies and thoughts at the same time, or these goals at the same time. And again, I think there's a big difference between wanting to do something and feeling compelled or that you need to do something. That's whenever it can get tricky. I can take an entire week off from lifting and working out and eating well right now, and I would be okay by the end of the week. You know, I'm not saying I wouldn't. I would want to work out. I would want to eat better, but it's not going to devastate me. For some people, this is going back to that RAF situation. If I told them to, if I told them to not track anything this entire week, or not worry about your fitness at all, or just try to relax or whatever, it's like that's actually going to cause them more stress and more anxiety around these things. And that's whenever they feel that you need to do something, you feel compelled to do something as opposed to wanting to do something. And I also think that there's something that I read again. So this is why I'm somewhat stumbling in a few parts of this, is because I have some notes here, and this is a, like I said, a complex topic, and I have some things here that I think are helpful and things that you can think about and possibly glue all together on your own. I'm trying to do my best here, but again, there's a lot of thoughts that I have on this, and I'm still trying to piece these together. So maybe after you hear this, maybe you have your own thoughts and you want to share those with me. Like, please do send me a DM, send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. We can talk about it more, because I'm still actively working through this. But I've been reading a book called Dancing with Life, and it's been, I'm trying to look at the, I'll figure it out later. But basically, it's probably the only book that you're going to look up, and it's going to be called Dancing with Life. And I really enjoy it. And one part that I read the other day was a big moment, because I've been trying to figure out, it's always great whenever you hear something or you read something or you see something that you've been thinking about a lot and you've been trying to articulate it and you just can't put it into the right words. And then somebody else says it way better than you do. And then you're like, yes, you have that aha moment. And you're like, yes, that's something that I've had this web of thoughts in my mind, but I haven't been able to synchronize them together into a coherent lesson or whatever you want to call it. But in this book, there was something here that they said. They said, there is a distinction between acting according to what you value and being attached to the outcome of that action. You don't diminish your commitment to the goal by letting go of grasping to the outcome. Right? So I'll read it again. There's a distinction between acting according to what you value and being attached to the outcome of that action. You don't diminish your commitment to the goal by letting go of grasping to the outcome. This is that dual energy that I was talking about, having these contrasting thoughts at the exact same time. And this person just put it together way better than I did, because just because you're not attached to the outcome of, let's say, losing 15 pounds, your happiness doesn't need to teeter on whether you lose that 15 pounds or not. You don't diminish your commitment to that goal by letting go of grasping to that outcome of losing 15 pounds. You can still act every single day in accordance to that goal without it running your entire life. You see what I'm saying? Like that's the attachment is the issue. The attachment and the needing of whatever the goal is that you're thinking that you need to be happy, that is the issue in itself. And so this is why I'm not saying it's just all about body positivity and self-love and acceptance and just giving up, right? I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that those things are necessarily accorded to, attached to that. But some people absolutely in that realm do think that way. It's more so just like, oh, you just love yourself. And then any type of dieting or anything like that is seen, like trying to improve your body is seen as not loving your body. And I think that that's absolutely asinine and clearly is not a good step forward in any fashion. So that's why I'm saying I think that you can have these goals without becoming attached to them, without getting your entire identity wrapped up within these things. And you can still act according to your values without needing something to turn out a certain way in the future. And that right there, I think, is just, that was such a big aha moment for me. Again, there's a distinction between acting according to what you value and being attached to the outcome of that action. You don't diminish your commitment to the goal by letting go of grasping to the outcome. It's excellent. I really do like that. The entire book is has been good so far. I've been hopping around a little bit, but this was in the chapter on letting go of desire and clinging specifically, and I really liked it. So it's called Dancing with Life. There's another book that I've brought up quite a few times on here, and then the book is called Already Free. It's by Bruce Tift. It's also excellent. And one of these strategies here, one of the quotes from that book, I'm just going to share that as well because it goes along exactly with what we're talking about here. But Bruce says, having come up with this strategy of struggle, we've developed a pretty effective defense against feeling raw, embodied, unexplained anxiety. He says, struggle can be defined as a continued effort to resist force or to free oneself from constraints. And this is a part that I have bolded. He said, the core struggle for most of us is that we want things to be different than they are. We don't want to feel fear and other intense negative emotions. We don't want to become sick and die. We don't want the incomprehensible violence in this world to continue. But negative feelings and difficult circumstances are inseparable from the complex reality we are all expressions of. Neurotic struggle, then, could be understood as a continued effort to resist reality or to free oneself from its constraints. And that's kind of the underlying thing here, it gets so deep, right? Because this gets so much into the psychology and also even probably somewhat into like the spirituality side of things. So this book specifically on Already Free, this is from a psychotherapist who uses essentially his learnings from school and formal education to help his practice, but he also uses practices from Buddhism. And this is where he calls it, as far as the subject that we're talking about on balancing acceptance and improvement, he calls it being and becoming. And that's kind of the framework, the constraints that we're constantly working in. And so he says, the core struggle for most of us is that we want things to be different than they are. We don't want to feel any of these negative emotions, but these exact negative feelings and difficult circumstances are inseparable from the complex reality we are all expressions of. So this book, and then also going with Dancing with Life, the whole premise behind both of these books, I mean, it's called Already Free and then Dancing with Life. With Dancing with Life, the premise is essentially like all of these negative things, these negative emotions, all of these things that we don't want to happen are still going to happen. And it's not our job to try to suppress these things, because also it's going to be impossible. Like just like they said in Already Free, this is the complex reality of things. Like this just, it is what it is. Shit sucks sometimes, you know? It's just like, that's just how it is. But how we choose to respond to that suckiness and how we decide to work through it, that's where our life lies, if that makes any sense. It's like in these moments is where our life lies. And if we're constantly trying to change how things are, well, it's like, then you're just literally going throughout life. It goes back to the Naval quote. He says, desire is a contract you make with yourself to be unhappy until you get what you want. So it's just like, when is it time to be happy? When is it time to accept ourselves? When is it time to just like, why can't this moment be enough? I think that's one of the big keys here. And it's like, why can't this moment be enough? And then also you can have that same paradoxical energy to, yes, this moment is enough right now, but I'm also going to choose to attempt to make the future better. But whether the future becomes better or not, whatever that outcome is that happens, is not up to me, right? I think that's kind of where this idea of somewhat surrendering comes in, right? And again, I told you guys this is going to be some type of woo-woo episode, and it's not going to be concrete, and I'm somewhat just rambling through all these things, and I'm not trying to act like I know what the fuck the deal is or what you should do or what I should do. I'm just saying a lot of these things make sense. And how we make sense of that is probably going to improve our lives. All of these things, like inherently and in my gut, I'm like, yes. Whenever I read these quotes, I was just like, yes, I think this is right. And that's honestly the message that I try to get out there to you guys. It's just like, I'm figuring these things out myself. I'm figuring it out alongside you. And it's just like, I think these answers or whatever you want to call them, these lessons are correct, or they're at least getting me closer to the real truth, because that's what I'm searching for. I'm just trying to understand reality. I'm trying to understand this truth, and I'm not saying this is where it's just like, I'm not saying that I'm going to go and try to become a monk and just renounce everything, renounce the world, renounce all of it. And then that's all you need is just your mind, and you need to meditate in a mountain for years on end. I don't think that's the right answer either. However, I think that if there's any way that we can reduce our own unnecessary suffering, right? There's no reason to suffer more than necessary. I think that suffering is inevitable, but I think the best part that we can do is try to reduce any unnecessary suffering. And that can be hard. But I think one of the answers, at least, and this comes from I want to say that this is from Nate Green, and he might have got it from somebody else, actually. But this quote is something that has stuck with me. It's another one of those where I couldn't articulate it for a while, and then I read it, and then I was just like, yes, like this is at least, again, somewhat close to the truth. And Nate says, if, on the other hand, we've already accepted things as they are, then any efforts at improvement can be understood as being about practical issues, or perhaps even be experienced as play, right? We're doing it for enjoyment. We're doing it because we choose to, not because we have to, right? So it's just like, what if all of the, so again, what he says here, so then any efforts at improvement can be understood as being about practical issues. So it's like, listen, dude, you got to pay your bills. You know, you got to pay for health insurance. You got to pay for all of these certain things. You got to pay for food and water and shelter. It's like those are practical issues that need to be taken care of. Like there's no hippy dippy shit about it. It's just like, you need to live, you need to survive. You got to get those out of the way, however you can. You've got to provide for yourself and your family, et cetera. But other than that, and also at the same time, right? Because again, it's just like, you can still go about figuring those things out. Like, even if you're strapped for money or something like that, you can figure those things out without unnecessary suffering. Of course, there's going to be suffering, but it's just like, you're going to have to do that thing anyway. So at least try to not berate yourself too much in the process, if that makes sense. And so that's why I really like whenever he talks about, it's just like, why can't we just experience things as play? Why can't we choose to this whole improving our experience in the world? What if we just viewed it with less pressure and viewed it as play. Like, we're just playing. We're doing it for enjoyment. Outside of essentially being completely homeless or looking for your next meal or serious issues like that, you know, it's just like, for the most part, if you're okay, it's like, why can't we view things in this different lens? That's probably going to lead to a better outcome anyway. You know, there's multiple ways that you can think about a situation, but it's just like, I'm going to choose the more optimistic route. I'm going to choose the more positive route. I'm not going to be naive about it, but it's just like, if I have to choose between choosing a positive route or choosing a negative route, it's like, I'm going to go with the positive route. And so he said, we're doing these things for enjoyment. We're doing it because we choose to, not because we have to. And this all goes back to these feelings that we may have with fitness and nutrition and trying to figure out our own health and how we feel about ourselves. And so it's just like, I think if there's anything that you could leave this podcast with, it's just like, why can't we take some of the pressure off? Most of the pressure is just made up in your own head. I mean, I'm saying if you're overweight, if you're obese and you have some issues, like health issues that you need to take care of, sure, your responsibility is going to be a little bit higher. However, it's still your responsibility to take care of these things. And it's just like, I think that you will do a better job objectively at taking care of that, at improving your health and improving your life, if you view it more so as play. If you come from a position of enjoyment and optimism and positivity. And I'm not saying that this is going to be constant, right? I definitely still struggle with the pessimistic side of things and these negative emotions, but I think that it's a practice, right? It's not a goal. And it's a constant refinement of these own thoughts about ourselves and our situation and what reality is. But I think if we constantly come back to reality and to trying to not change anything in this moment or not necessarily not change, because I'm saying if I'm doing this podcast right now, like this is to, of course, benefit you guys, but this is to benefit my future self. I'm putting out content. This is work for me, right? But it's just like, in this moment, this is all I need. Right? I'm talking to, I don't even know how many people are listening to this, but it's just like, I'm talking to a few people that are you know, in hopes that this is going to help them in some way better than when you first started this podcast. And it's just like, to me right now, it's like, this moment is enough for me. And that's kind of what I want you guys to think about going forward. It's just like, don't suffer any more than you need to suffer. And I think you need to reduce your attachment to some of these outcomes that you're so desperate and need for, and that you're teetering your happiness on, right? It's just like, this is the constant struggle that we have. And it's just like, give up the struggle. You know, that's kind of, it's just like, whenever I talk about that surrendering, it's like surrendering to reality. I don't know, man. I think some of that made sense. I really hope that some of those things in there really, really helped you guys out. I hope that you can take the first step today and kind of renouncing some of these attachments and realizing that, hey, you can still care about certain things. You can still have these certain values. You can still aim to progress your life, but let go of some of that grasping and clinging to the outcome. It doesn't make you a worse person. It doesn't make you undisciplined. It doesn't mean you don't care. It doesn't mean any of those things, but it's just like, all I'm saying is, you're going to reduce a lot of your suffering if you just try to experience it more so as play and try to just enjoy the opportunity of even being able to have these goals and values and the opportunity to have the abilities to change these things. And you're not fucking living in North Korea or some shit, right? It's like, hate to go there or something, but it's just like, there is real shit going on. And the fact that we can even have the choice, even have a choice in general to improve our lives, it's just like, that in itself is you know, that's the biggest, that's one of the biggest lessons here. Okay, that's it. I hope this was helpful. I hope you got a few nuggets in here. We'll see how it goes. If you did enjoy it, if you got something out of it, if you want to further the discussion, please hit me up, send me a DM, send me a message, email, and let's talk about it. If you like the podcast, again, rate, review, subscribe, all that kind of fun stuff. And yeah, thank you guys, as always, for listening. Not watching. Don't have the video up. Fucked it up. All good. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll talk to you soon. And that is that, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the More Than Fitness podcast. And please, if you could help me out a little bit here and leave a rate and review in iTunes, and also take a screenshot and post it up on your IG story. Tag me at MattMcLeod6. I'd love to share it. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast, and also so that we can share the word with other people. I would love to build up this community, build up this tribe of people that we have like you and I, and get the word out there. Also, if you want more free content, you can check the links in the description. I have my free 4-week workout plan, The Ultimate Physique Development. And also, if you want to work with me online, one-on-one for personal coaching, you can check the link in the description as well. And anything else you need, please send me an email, send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for listening.